Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the man's shit. Let's go hook him up!
Joined by my co-host Couture. What's going on, Couture?
Not too much.
Cool. And we have our other co-host on the line, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, Edward. How are you this evening?
I'm doing quite fine on this day before our Independence Day, the 4th of July. And, you know, I heard you were complaining about working today, like you're the only person who had to work today. I myself had to work last night. I never worked for. I get Fridays off, so I don't have to work today or tomorrow. But I did have to work Thursday, and I have to go back Sunday, our normal day. We got cheated out of a day off because of what day 4th of July fell on this year. Now, we are still getting paid for the day. But I would like to get that day paid and not have to work. So, you know, I'm a little disappointed myself. But, yeah, so you're not the only one who had to work on the day or on 4th of July or whatever.
Yeah. Felt like it, though.
Yeah. So, now, are you – I think the other day I read a post that said that you're working in a non-air-conditioned building.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, welcome to Texas, like Craig. Pulling. Welcome to Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm sure it's worse down here than it is up there in that non-EC building.
I'm begging for another month of rain or so down here. Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we haven't had rain in almost a month, which is ridiculously weird for us. And right now, the temperature sits at 93 degrees. And, it's been weird and miserable. We're not used to this.
You know what's weirder than you guys not getting rain for a month? It's weirder that it's been raining for a month here nonstop, it seems like. It's like the world, whoever says global warming full of shit, they're full of shit because I'm witnessing it right now, goddamn. I mean, it's bad enough we have to deal with the heat, but now because of all this rain, we're having to deal with even more humidity than we normally do, and that fucking sucks. I can't wait to get the fuck out of here to go to Vegas next week and just get in some dry air and not have to deal with it. Mm-hmm. Even though it's probably going to be like 110 degrees there.
Yeah, I'm. The heat is just beating me up. I know that sounds crazy, but it's absolutely true. I work in a big metal building, no air conditioning. I work upstairs in a loft area. I have one fan that blows hot air in my face all day. I have to wear long pants, steel-toed boots. Yeah, such is my life. And had to work today. And,
you know, and you are a very big man, so it doesn't help.
That's very true. That is very true.
Yeah, I know that quite well because it's been so damn hot at UPS that we have something in common. We basically leave work with our shirts stuck to each to ourselves, and
mm-hmm.
I've been having to take an extra shirt in the car, so as soon as I get to my car, I can take off my shirt. And when I say soaked, I'm not talking about, oh, it's got, I sweated a little, it's got some sweat. No. My shirt is, I could wring it out. I could wring the sweat out of my shirt. That's how fucking bad it is. But anyway, that's disgusting. So let's change the subject. tomorrow is the 4th of July, and Craig, you're the family man of the group, so I'm sure you've got plans. Why don't you tell us what your plans are for the weekend?
To be honest, I don't have any plans as of yet. I put everything on the back burner because we're so ridiculously busy at work that I just assumed we were going to have to work tomorrow. And I actually got lucky, and I'm one of the ones that actually got tomorrow off, so I'm basically going to play it by ear. So I'm not sure yet, is what I'm saying.
Well, that was disappointing. I thought you were going to have this elaborate family barbecue, telling us exactly what you were going to cook, what the wife's making for sides, what the potato salad recipe. Wow.
Yeah, we'll get on that tomorrow.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you'll have fun. And, Trey, what are you? Do you have any 4th of July plans?
Not really. I'm in the spirit of it. I went and got me a few pounds of shrimp today that I'm in a bowl. So tomorrow, fix me some steaks. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't think I'm going to really do anything tomorrow. Just, I don't know. I'm at that age, I don't want to do nothing.
Yeah, you know you're getting old when doing nothing sounds like a great time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I will be up at in a few hours to watch the show in Japan at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I'm taking my like phone clip so I can kind of click it to one of my like window visor things and put my phone on, and then while I'm doing my paper route at 4:30 in the morning, I'm gonna watch Brock Smash and hopefully watch Fraggle Divot win the NXT title from Kevin Steen, hopefully.
From Fraggle Rock?
He looks like an evil Fraggle when he's got all the makeup on.
I love Fraggle Rock.
Why wouldn't you?
But, yeah. I used to watch that every day, like when I was in elementary.
I was looking forward to that. I was like, wow, that thing starts at 5:30. That's awesome. I get up at that time every day. And then I realized, oh, that's Eastern time. It starts at 2:30 here.
Mm.
Yeah, I'll be asleep. Just saying.
Yeah. But no matter what time it starts, I'd still be doing my paper route. So it's either I'm still going to have to watch part of it while I'm, you know.
It don't matter. You watch it any time. So not a big
deal.
Well, I'll watch it live, though. On my phone, I just hope
apparently they had this 2-hour Raw replay on Tuesdays now. You know this?
No.
So my DVR decided it was going to set the priority to the Tuesday show and not the Monday show.
About
9 o'clock on Monday night, I'm getting ready to, you know, watch the first couple hours of Raw, and I ain't got it, so I only got the last hour.
So what, they recorded
maybe
the last
DVR
hour and then the other 2 hours on Monday?
Maybe my DVR thought it was doing me a favor or something, I don't know. We taped them the 2-hour show. This just said Tuesday, it's old news, so I don't even watch it.
Right, I pretty much missed the opening segment, but I caught everything else. But it was worth it just to see the Cena-Cesaro match. I mean, that was fucking awesome. They had a couple awesome matches on Raw.
Yeah.
And Cesaro basically just has awesome matches with everybody, but somehow he's fucking boring.
Mm-hmm.
He's been, like, had the best matches in WWE this year so far, I think. I mean, if you look at it,
like
especially the Open Challenge stuff. I mean, against Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, Neville. You know, I mean, been one of the best guys they've had. The one,
producing. You know, he's better. He's a better worker than Dean Malenko. That's for sure.
I wouldn't even compare the two, but okay. Not that
Well, it's a joke because you know how some people, they're so fixated on work rate that they think John Cena sucks, even though John Cena, if you look at every single aspect of the business, John Cena is the best worker in the business. And some people might not like that, but that's how it is. I accept it. I see it. I'm willing to admit it.
Well, a lot of people don't understand that working isn't just inside the ring.
Mm-mm.
There's more to working than the four corners of the ring. And I think a lot of people forget that. And there's a lot to this, to the business that, you know, you have to mentally be prepared for. You know, there's just like the hectic work schedule and the travel and all that stuff. And
who does and, more of that than John Cena, you know?
Yeah, exactly. John, good night. That guy's everywhere. If there's a promo tour that needs to be done, he's all over it. If
there's a sick kid in the somewhere, he's talking to that kid.
Absolutely. So you can, you know, even Brian was dissing his indie moves that he's been doing lately, but you got to give it up to the guy. He's
trying.
He's tremendous. He's the gold standard, if you will.
Did you notice he changed up his punches in the match?
I did not.
There's a couple punches where he actually connected to like the top of Cesaro's head.
Okay.
Go back and watch it. It just shocked me because you know how he throws. He's like one of those guys like Sid Vicious, Rob Van Dam. They have their set fucking punch motion. It's horrible, but they never change it. They never do anything different. And Cena actually did something a little different and connected. Not that they were like super stiff or anything, but you know what I mean. They look better. You know.
Well, yeah. If you really hit somebody, it will look better.
But before we get to
that, go ahead. I was going to say, I actually have this Japan show line up in front of me if you want me to run through it.
Yeah, I was actually going to do that, but you got it. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, it doesn't say where all these matches are happening on the show, but it's got 2 hours and it's like six matches, so it may very well have all these matches may be on the show. So they have the Primetime Players against the Lucha Dragons for the tag team titles. Nikki Bella versus Paige against Tamina Snuka for the Divas title.
I've seen different reports, though, because I see some with Tamina, and then I've seen other places where they're advertising Naomi. Hmm. And especially if I don't like Naomi, I'd rather have it Naomi than Tamina, because, my God, Tamina
Naomi
is like
does make more sense than Tamina Snuka. So, I don't know.
And not to mention Nikki's hurt.
Okay. Neville versus Chris Jericho, which I hope they show, which they probably will. Kevin Owens against Finn Balor for the NXT title. Brock Lesnar destroying Kofi Kingston.
Yes.
John Cena and Dolph Ziggler against Kane and King Barrett. So, there's like three matches on the show, I want to see.
I don't think there's a wrestler I want to see least in WWE at the current time than Dolph Ziggler. Dude's horrible. Somehow he took the girl who was about to break out and become the next big Divas woman star and just totally made her do a 360, and now nobody gives a shit about her and they're giving her what treatment. And I blame Dolph Ziggler for, well, I blame Dolph Ziggler and Vince McMahon and the writers for that, but could give a fuck about Dolph Ziggler right now.
It ain't his fault. Shit.
He's a horrible promo, and it'd be one thing if I had to put up with like what you know his matches and get to see at least a good promo. But he's not even that.
He's a good promo. He's giving him shit to say.
He's not a good promo. He sucks. He's the most unfunny comedian I've ever seen in my life.
That's different. Yeah. His promos are fine. They're nothing to write home about, but they're not horrible either. But the angle that they have him in with Lana right now, that's a really huge nail in the coffin, if you ask me. That is go away type heat. And they need to do something quick. I don't know if Lana ends up back with Rusev or something.
I think it's a swerve, to be honest with you.
On
Dolph Ziggler. I think he's going to turn on Ziggler and go back with Rusev. That's just what it looks like.
Yeah.
I think. That's what I've been doing this whole time.
I agree. They're taking a sweet time getting there.
Yeah.
He comes up with he's got there making fun of the guy with broke foot. You know, he's an asshole.
It's true.
Yeah. Well, the main thing that Katrina wanted to talk about, I thought we were going to it was going to be like last week where it was a whole show, but it actually would just be the angle that we're going to talk about, so that's not going to take too long. So before we get to that, I want to talk about, I took another road trip to Austin, for this time for Anarchy Championship Wrestling to see the Queen of Queens show. And there was the Queen of Queens, and then they have a bunch of guy matches. But I wanted to ask you a question before I get to one of my stories, Craig. Okay, how long were you actually a wrestler?
Like 2.5 years.
How long did it take you to, I don't know, this might sound weird, how long did it take you to find your confidence in the ring?
Oh, goodness. I would say probably just over a year. I mean, I remember it specifically because it was in one match. It was in my hometown of Sumner, Washington at the time. I actually did an article in the paper about the quote-unquote hometown boy. Tim went and put me in the main event. He let me pick the guy I wanted to wrestle. He let me do anything I wanted as long as I went over on whoever I picked. And I told him, there was this kid that was, he was newer, but he could get heat really easy. He's a tall, skinny kid with a pot belly, and his name was Fender Gibson. And he did like this, I guess you would call it like a rockabilly type gimmick. Not like Honky Tonk Man, but close. He would use the shake, rattle, and roll, and I just told him to go out there and get some heat, and then I'd come out, and I remember the match specifically because, like, a lot of my family was there, and a lot of my friends were there. It was a free show for, there was a food drive at the high school that we were at, and I remember specifically being able to find my groove and understanding how everything clicked and how you can't have a triumphant baby face unless the heel gets a lot of heat on you. And it was like it really clicked for me right then that I realized the more I sell and the more I get beat up, the sweeter the victory is when the baby face finally pulls it out in the end. And I remember the show specifically, and it was probably about a year and maybe a month that it started to click for me. So I felt confident at that match for sure.
Well, the reason like I asked that is because at this Queen of Queens show, there were five wrestlers, three guys, two girls that I had seen about maybe a little over half a year ago at ACW. They were all students, and they were all basically still in school. Like, the guys were Paul Lennon students. I don't know about the girls, but they were, like, they were pretty much students. And these two matches were horrible. And they were so horrible to the point where the women's one was so horrible that it was very entertaining. The guys were just horrible. They looked like guys at wrestling school. Their gear was sucked. They looked sucked. Everything sucked. They were trying. I mean, I'm not saying they weren't trying, but it's what you would expect from guys wrestling for a few months. Well, three of the guys were on the show, two of the girls, and it just blew my mind seeing these people because they were, it was just, not that their work rate was so much better, but it's just something like was catching my eye about them, and it just was making me notice. And I was talking to this friend of mine, Jack Jameson, who's a Lance Storm student, and I'm like, man, what? It's like, it's so weird. I just like, they're making such an impression on me, but it's not like they're really that much better. And he just, he brought up the fact, was, you know what it is? It's like they found their confidence, and they're confident in there, and they're not looking like they're deer in the headlight anymore. And that's fun. I kind of just napped at it. Like, yeah, it's like how it's so weird that all five of these people in less than a year have come so far to where they actually look like professional wrestlers and not like, you know, a couple months wrestling students. And I thought that was really cool. It was really cool seeing guys stick with it and progress and become better. Like one of the girls, she's like 4 foot and about 300 pounds. And the first time I saw her, she was pretty much all dressed. And just nothing really about her, but now she's like a little, her gimmick is she's like a little sex kitten, and she's got like a plaid, like kind of like a mini skirt, not like really a short skirt, but like she comes out and she's shaking her ass in front of all the guys and sticking out her boobs and just, you know, doing her character really good. And then all the guys, they all have like new gear and new haircuts and a new look, and they just, it just like blew my mind seeing that. So that was one of the stories. One of the stories that I really want to talk about is, do you remember when Dave Prazak was on the show and he asked me if I ever bought a custom?
A custom?
Yeah, a custom DVD.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
well,
yeah, I have
more regarding that, because for those who didn't hear that show, whatever, one time, I was fucking high off my ass, just fucking around on Twitter.
Like
and, like every night, basically. Usually,
okay.
I don't do too much, but the shit I do doesn't usually get me in too much trouble, but this one did. Basically, you know, there's these different custom companies. You can say, hey, I want this girl to wrestle this girl, and you can tell them, like, say, I want every move set or whatever, or just have them make it up, and they'll just do a little match for you. And stuff like that. So this girl, and I knew Leva Bates and Solo Darling were going to work for this company. And it's a company that's owned by Athena, the wrestling goddess.
Uh-huh.
And there's this local girl. Her name's Claudia De Solis. She's a very good-looking girl. She's a big girl, though. And I had seen pictures of her. I'd never seen her wrestle, but I know who she is or whatever. And I knew she was on this customs, right? So she's made a tweet saying that, hey, there's these new girls coming in, and someone order a match, I'll teach them a lesson or whatever. And so I'm high as fuck. So I'm like, I just joking around, just tweeted, Solo Darling would kick your ass or something to that effect, right? All right. So then she responds to me saying, well, why don't you order the match and we'll find out, and starts calling me out. And at first I don't really respond. I kind of just blow it off. I'm like, okay, I'm not dumb enough to say anything. All right. And then my good friend turned on me, and she favorited the other girl's tweet and responded with, yes, she should order the match too. So now I have two girls, one of them my friend, calling me out. So I'm like, God damn it. I really don't want to order a custom. I wasn't planning on it. They're kind of expensive. Not like super expensive, but more than you would think. And I'm like, how am I going to get out of this? Right? How am I going to get out of this? All right, I figured it out. My high ass figured it out. This is what I'm going to do. And I tweeted that girl, okay, I will. But you have to go out on a date with me, right? So I'm figuring that's going to scare her away in the story. I don't have to buy a custom, right? So, unfortunately, that's not what happened. And she responded and actually agreed to my terms and said it had to be a non-script and that they were going to, like, grapple and it still looked good. I'll grapple her, she would go out on the date with me. Right. So I'm like, well, this girl's like way bigger than Solo. So I was like, I messaged Solo, I go, look, it's real funny and everything, but there's no way I could do that to you. That girl's so big. And then Solo's like, no, don't worry about it. I'm more than happy to do it. And if I win, you get a date out of it. So I'm like, all right, fuck it. I went and bought the custom, right? And then I never asked either one of them about it after, because I wanted to wait till I got the custom. I finally got it, It wasn't actually a DVD. It's like I can go to the website and watch it. So Solo wins the custom. So I win the date, but then again, I don't hear from that girl. And this is like about, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago, right? And she hadn't really been working any of the shows, but she was scheduled to work on The Queen of Queens. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go collect on my date, goddammit. You know, that's a tough guy inside of me talking, right? That's, you know, going to at least, you know, go over there and at least, you know, meet her or something, right? So I go, and when I'm sitting down, when the show starts, I'm like right by the curtain where they come out, and she comes out, and she looks huge in her gear. Like, she played the lingerie football league, so I think she was like a lineman. So she's a good-sized chick, but she's beautiful. She's got this beautiful face. She's a big,
blind person, Ed.
Yeah. But so I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, you know what? There's no way in hell that I am going to piss this woman off, okay? Because she will beat the fuck out of me. All right, so she has her match, and she ends up losing to Athena, so-and-so. So I'm like, okay, so that happens. So later on, there's a guy match, so I go to get a drink at the bar, and I'm in line. And here comes Claudia de Solis around the corner, and I'm like, okay, here's my chance just to introduce myself, say hello. And she gets closer and closer, and I put my head down, and I just look down, and she goes to the bathroom, and I fucking pushed out for the first time. All right, so then later on, I end up going up to the balcony because these shows are actually outside at a bar, and you can go up, there's like a balcony area, and it's really cool up there. So I'm up there, and once again, I'm there with this one buddy that I know from Dallas. And here comes Claudia Solis walking again, and all right, damn it, this time I'm going to do it. So, of course, she gets close to me, I put my head down and fucking chicken out once again. Because, like I say, this girl's kind of intimidating me. And so I pushed out. So finally, I'm like, God damn it, how am I going to do this? And then I told my friend, I go, man, Jack, can you introduce me to Claudia? And he's like, oh, yeah, no problem. All right, so we're standing there at one corner of the balcony, and then once again, here she comes. And then he's all, I look at him, and he's all, don't be a pussy, dude, just do it. So finally, I introduced myself to her, and, you know, it's a great match, said so-and-so. And then I was like, yeah, my name's Ed. I bought that custom between you and Solo. And she's like, I didn't know how she was going to react, but she was like, oh, well, thank you. That was really cool, and so-and-so. And I know you're from San Antonio, and the next time I'm in San Antonio, I'm definitely taking you up on your offer. And she was real cool to me, and it worked out, and it was awesome. And I just thought it was funny, you know, the way I kept being a pussy and just, like, putting my head down. She's scared to talk to this girl, but then she ended up being, like, really nice and awesome and shit. But that's one of my stories from there. But, yeah, this show was pretty awesome. It was also cool because I got to meet Sue Young. I don't know if you – have you ever seen any Sue Young, Craig?
Name sounds familiar. I can't put a face to the name.
I think she does, like, Dragon's Gate and stuff. Kind of like an Asian thing. Anyway, she was she was real awesome. I got to meet her. I met her very briefly, like, last year, but I didn't get to talk to her or whatever. This time I got to meet her. She's, like, super cool, one of the nicest wrestling chicks that I've ever met. But, yeah, this show was awesome, man. I'm going – and then the next show is while I'm still on vacation, and so I'll be definitely going back to that. But, yeah, it was pretty cool. But that was my big story that I wanted to share because I'm sure people were interested in whatever happened when I told that custom story before. So I know Dave Frazek is, you know, at least he's enjoying the story at least. But that was
Dave, did you ever gain your confidence in the ring? Did you ever jump in the bayou with alligators and snakes and all sorts of critters and stuff and swim to a boat?
The what?
To gain your confidence in wrestling, did you ever, like, swim with the alligators and snakes, like in a bayou or something?
Like, you're talking to Craig, did you ever use your confidence to swim in a bayou?
Well, we don't have bayous here, so no. I did have to drive Buddy Wayne across a country line between Canada and the U.S. to make sure he got in and out of the country safely. And by safely, I mean not arrested. So that helped me with my confidence a little bit.
Okay.
So if you want to insert car for bayou and Buddy Wayne for alligator, then yes.
I think Buddy Wayne would actually be the more dangerous of the two.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. All 5 foot one of them could get upset at any moment.
Yeah. Oh, one other quick little story from the Queen of Queens. I told you about my friend Jack. He's been doing like a lot of hardcore matches, so he's kind of, his body's been kind of scarred up and burnt and whatever. So he's been wearing jeans and a t-shirt while he's been wrestling the last few months. He's going back to his gear, but for right for like this kind of like storyline, he's kind of like doing that more harder edge kind of a gimmick thing. So when he's wrestling in his match, yeah, like Dean Ambrose. He, that's what he was kind of dressed like Dean Ambrose kind of.
Yeah.
So I took a photo while he's in the corner waiting to be tagged in, and I sent it to Lance. And then I get a response, jeans and a t-shirt? What the fuck?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shit. I told him, I texted him, but he normally has gear. I don't know what's going on. And he just responded with a bunch of, And I just kind of laughed. So later on, at intermission, I go to the bar, and Jack's been known to have a few drinks during the show. So I'm talking to Jack, and I was like, hey, man, someone's pissed off at you, man. And he's like, what? What are you talking about? So I just show him my phone, and you should have seen his eyes, Craig. It was like he was like the little football, like the little kid in football who the coach is so disappointed or the dad is so disappointed in him. And he had to look like, dude, you got to text him and tell him it's just for right now. I always wear my gear, and please tell him. So I had to send Lance a text and explain to him that he does wear his gear. It's only like for this little storyline, and please don't be disappointed in him. But I thought that was
actually
funny.
I actually have a really quick story. There is there's a couple of wrestling promotions in town or in the area. One of them's Caden's promotion. He's running a bar in Woodinville, and he runs 3-4 times a year. That's Caden Matthews. And then there's another guy, we've talked about him before. His name's Coach Mike Jones, and Coach is the sweetest man you'll ever meet. But quite honestly, to say he's a pro wrestler would be a huge, huge overstatement.
Well, we've had like 4 people bury him on the show.
Yeah. I was being as nice as possible, thank God. But anyway, Coach was running a show in a park, a free show in a park in Tacoma last Saturday. It was in the very high 80s to low 90s, and it was Coach Mike Jones and his tag team partner Kevin Sullivan against a couple of J-Brones. Anyway, I did not go, but I did see the photos from said event. Kevin Sullivan wrestled in a park with about 7 or 8 people huddled around a tree for shade, about 20 feet behind the ring. This was the saddest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah.
Man,
he's very sad. Whoever was wrestling.
What did Kevin look like? What kind of shape was he in?
Imagine Kevin Sullivan circa 1996 with a bigger pot belly and shaved head.
Greg, have you ever seen Kevin Sullivan circa 1981-82?
Only in the After Megs.
Okay, so you've seen what he could do then. Okay.
Yeah.
Kevin Sullivan is like one of the weirdest wrestlers I've ever seen, because one part of the year he'd be flat, and I don't want to say fat, but like just kind of flabby and just look like a normal dude who doesn't really work out. And then the other half of the year, he looked like fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Great God, yes.
Yeah. It was so weird. It's like, how did that body, like, because usually people with good genetics, they have their cuts even when they don't work out. Kevin Sullivan did not, you know, he had to work at that. So I can only imagine. Like, I remember having a Les Thatcher on the show who used to do bodybuilding contests as an older man, and he used to tell us about he used to have to weigh his food to the gram. You know what I mean? And stuff. So it's like, I can only imagine what Kevin Sullivan. But that's, yeah, that's sad seeing like an older guy just have to. And then I bet it was hot as shit. I mean, he's junior and been in that situation. That's kind of like cruel.
Yeah. And Kevin Sullivan used to, I think he's a member. Hadn't he been a member of like a nudist colony or something?
I have no idea.
I swear that's a true story I heard. I read somewhere.
Huh. I see where they call you the Prince of Dark.
A member of the nudist colony.
Have you ever seen the clip? The clip of, because I was like, when Dusty died, I was trying to find the Paxson turn on YouTube, but I couldn't find it. But one thing I did find was a purple haze rising from the ocean. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Have you ever seen it, Craig?
No.
Okay,
no,
well, it's devil worshiper Kevin Sullivan, and he's on the beach with a woman who's the Fallen Angel at the time?
Fallen Angel.
And then the other one, the one they used to beat on, and they're there and they're being interviewed. And they're in front of the beach, and they're talking. And then in the background, you see somebody's head and arms pop up from the water. And the fuck was his name, Couture? Oh, I can't think of it right now.
Mark Lewin?
Mark Lewin, who was actually had been around for years. He was actually extremely old, even though he still had a good body. Mark Lewin with a purple cape, with a white purple cape. Comes out of the water, and the purple haze was reborn into a new creature of evil, and joined Kevin Sullivan's army of darkness. And it was one of the most awesome things I've ever seen in my life.
I found them not too long ago. They had I'm messing around on YouTube, and they had a match in world class points. I don't know if you ever knew that they were in world class. They this was in like. I think it was like 85 or 86. They had like Labor Day. They used to have like the Labor Day special. And they had this, which was like and there was this, like, from the World Riders Coliseum, it was like this big tournament for the tag team titles. It was in like 1986, and Purple Haze and Kevin Sullivan were in the tournament. That just made me think of it.
Interesting.
Yeah, they were both in San Antonio, too, in Southwest. In fact, Mark Lewin is one of the people who helped kill Southwest because they were I think World Class and Southwest were both running a show at the same time on the same day. And Brody was actually scheduled to work the Southwest show. And story goes, this is a story, I mean, I don't know for a fact, but story goes, Fritz paid off, or maybe it was even Fred Barron, because Fred Barron was the one that was trying to fuck over Telly's dad and screw over Southwest. So either one of them paid Brody some money. So the main event was Bruiser Brody against Purple Haze, and basically Brody sat on a headlock for 25 minutes and did nothing. And people got pissed off, and they started watching World Class. And that's just one of the stories about that. But yeah. But one of the things that Trevor wanted to talk about, and we've talked about it before on the show, it's one of my favorite angles from all time in Memphis. And Craig, did you get to watch it?
Yes, sir.
Well, let me let you run it down since you're the new one to it.
Oh, crap. Yeah, it figures, because I didn't have time to actually watch it and take notes. But
let me give you a little bit of backstory real quick. It wasn't on the video.
Yes, please.
Okay. This was 1984, and it was like a couple of years, I think it was at 83 or maybe the end of 82 when Jackie Fargo put together the Fabulous one with Steve Kern and Stan Lane, and they were like the, I think they were probably the most popular team in the history of Memphis wrestling. I mean, they had attendance figures in like Louisville and stuff, and they probably were like the most popular team in the history of Memphis wrestling. and you know, really over. And but those the two guys staying in the stage is I think they figured they were probably bigger on like outside of the territory than they actually were. So they decided they were going to go to, like, to the AWA and you know, go to the big town like Chicago and Milwaukee and stuff. And so they decided they kind of buried them on the way out because they had Jericho Fargo say that they didn't want to wrestle in front of the fans in the South anymore. So he's going to put together his new team of Fabulous Ones. And he put together a team of Tony Urch and Eddie Gilbert in 1984. So that's kind of how the team came about.
Okay. So here's what I watched. The YouTube clip says the WFIA Tag Team of the Year angle. In the description, it says this is sometime in late July or early August of 1984 after Steve Kern and Stan Lane had left Memphis. So this is the same television show that I watched last week or a little bit different?
Say what now?
Is this somewhat of the same show that I watched last week? Or is
yeah.
Okay. So we're talking CWA out of Memphis.
Yes.
Okay. So what I can only describe as two young men. One of them with very bad posture, just let me have it, came out to, just saying, they came out to give the Tag Team of the Year trophy away, and they said, I know there haven't been a tag team all year, in fact, they split up since then, but the Tag Team of the Year, I'm guessing from 1984, was Eddie Gilbert. And,
Tommy
Rich, thank you. I'm looking for my notes, and I don't have any. Anyway, Eddie Gilbert comes out, and he is, let me paint a picture for you. He's wearing a white, very low-cropped T-shirt, so it's very high on his waist. His sleeves have been pulled off. It is bright white. He's wearing cowboy boots tucked into his, or jeans tucked into his cowboy boots. And he's basically cutting a promo on Tommy Rich, saying that, you know, we're not a team, and I carried the team, and so forth and so on. Well, cue Tommy Rich. Tommy Rich comes out. He's got his bleach blonde hair. He's wearing one of the worst suits I've ever seen in my life. But he's also wearing a white button-up shirt. He's wearing a baby blue suit, probably also with cowboy boots. And not a lot of words are exchanged, but a lot of punches are thrown. And Tommy Rich beats the fool out of Eddie Gilbert. Throws him into the post. Just beats him up. Hits him with a chair in the face. All very, very well done. All very well, how do I say it? It was very safe, everything they did. Of course, Eddie Giggs in his white T-shirt is just now covered. And by the way, the floor in the studio also white. And so when Eddie hits the spot, the blood is all over his shirt, all over the white floor, just dripping everywhere, and bloody, beaten mess. And Tommy Rich leaves. We go to commercial, and they come back in a massively bloody Eddie Gilbert is pleading with Tommy Rich, I'm sorry, you're the bigger man, we need to get the team back together, so forth and so on. His face is covered with blood, and he's almost driven to tears.
a weird dynamic and a weird spectacle, to say the least. So he's pleading for Tommy to forgive him, and out comes Tommy Rich, and they shake hands and they embrace, and it looks like everything's going to be okay, and the tag team of the year looks like they're going to be getting back together. But oh no. The camera cut away for just a minute, and then Lance Russell yells, and the camera zooms back, and sure enough, now Tommy Rich is on the floor, and he is being beaten by Eddie Gilbert. Sent into the post, a very safe chair shot to the head, and rips his ridiculous baby blue suit, beats him bloody, and leaves him laying as well. And Tommy Rich, the very first time I saw Tommy Rich, it was in an After Mag, and I don't know if I've ever seen a man bleed as much as Tommy Rich.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the After Mag that I had, his blonde hair was not blonde anymore, and there was blood streaming down his face all the way to the waistband of his trunks. Just a, as Jim Ross would say, a crimson mask, and torso and chest and everything else. But yeah, it was a very clever angle. And by the way, this all happened in one show. This didn't have to go on for weeks. They didn't hint at it. This went on for one show. It was about 10 minutes long by the time they, you know, chopped up the commercials and everything like that. And it's just funny how simple wrestling is when you let it be simple and you don't overthink it. This
yeah.
guy, they were a tag team. They broke up. They had heat. They fought. One guy said he had a change of heart. And that dastardly heel pulled one over on Tommy Rich. And the feud was off and running after this, I would imagine.
Yeah. I actually thought Tommy Rich came off as a complete and total dick in this thing. He came off as an asshole. He just walked up there and started standing, the poor fucker.
Well, he was talking shit about him before. It's not like he just jumped
out. No, but I mean, he comes out there, he just starts wailing on him, like, throwing him in the ring post, he's bleeding. I felt bad for Eddie Gilbert.
Who also, they must have, like, split a six-pack and a jar of aspirin before they did this. Because they both bled really fast and a lot. And
that's true.
I'll never forget that suit, because Tommy would wear that suit or variations of that suit all the time on Georgia Championship Wrestling. And it was like a...
Not anymore.
It was like partially it was like a three-piece suit, and partially it was like a country sports suit.
Yes.
In a way.
That's
I don't
good.
Know how to describe it better than that, but... And most of them would be baby light blue. And I've even seen Terry Funk wear that same suit, too. Yeah, that was just, I guess, the fashion back then. And always with cowboy boots, like you said. Always had the cowboy boots. And then Eddie Gilbert, please forgive me for what I'm about to say, but that was a very gay-looking top he had on.
No, yeah. Not wrong.
But, well, at the time. But my favorite part of this whole thing is Lance Russell. Lance Russell, when Eddie's crying and begging for forgiveness, and it takes a big man to admit when he's wrong. And then, you know, Lance is giving him some support, and he's even propping him up to Tommy when Tommy comes out. And then they go off camera, and they switch to Lance, and you hear a commotion. And you see just a look of disgust on Lance Russell's face. And you knew what was going on before you saw the beating. Lance Russell is one of the greatest announcers of all time. I've seen a lot of Lance Russell, but no way have I seen as much as I should or would like to have, because, you know, I didn't really get Memphis just very sporadically. But that dude was a great announcer, just awesome voice, just so passionate about everything.
You know, I mean, he really carried his emotions as if he was pissed off or happy or whatever, disgusted. He was awesome. And it's funny because, you know, last week on Raw, like Seth Rollins gave a brand new Cadillac to the minions, basically. And on this one, the big tag team award trophy looks like something that costs like $3 that you could get like fucking, you know, at the
right.
trophy store for your like Little League, for the team that never won a game in Little League, you know, because it
yeah.
was only like about 6 inches tall and stuff.
Participation trophy.
Yeah.
It's worth me on Monday. That's where I thought something was going to happen to a car. That's the whole point of bringing them out, isn't it? Somebody destroy the damn thing?
I would imagine next week we will not be seeing that car much.
It's like bringing out a cake on a wrestling show. It's going to go in somebody's face.
Oh, yeah. The funny thing is, though, they're going to have to load.
If they're the water
trough, they're going to have to load.
It'll get thrown into the water troughs.
The funny thing is, they're going to have to drive that car from town to town until it actually gets destroyed. So, kind of funny.
And you know, isn't that, you know, isn't that Joey that are driving a car, unfortunately? It'd be cool if they were, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what they should do. They should let them drive to the next town. They should show footage of them at the gas station. Like, the guy's going to put the gas, you know, there's a gas attendant, he's going to put the gas, and then Joey's like, fuck no, and they take the gas away, and they only trust themselves to put the gas in. And, you know what I mean, they're checking the air tire. You know, just have them just, like, fucking baby that car. Like,
yeah.
next week, they should just show clips of them babying the car, and then maybe in 2 or 3 weeks, then you have Brock F5 the car.
I was thinking
the interior of the car, and it shows that they got phone books on the seat because they got to sit on phone books to see.
That is good. I would also like to see that, you know, they're taking care of the car, they're waxing it, and at some point Brock is chasing the two of them. They manage to outrun him. And they slide into the Cadillac, and they start it up, and they drive off, and it looks like they're going to be free and clear. But alas, as they head up the ramp to get out of the building, there's Brock standing in the way. And so Joey
yeah.
just freaks out, and instead of braking, he hits the gas, and he's flying as fast as he can at him. And just like the Hulk, Brock takes his fist, and he smashes it on the hood of the car, and the car flips high in the air, and then they show, you know, J&J, and they're screaming as the car is flipping through the air, and Brock just lets it blow up behind him in a pile of rubble.
And then they clip to a live feed from Hawaii, and there's Kane in his Hawaiian shirt and white pants and a white hat, and he's at a bar, and he's sitting there, and on the other side of the bar is Sally Blanchard and Baby Doll.
Okay.
And that would confuse everybody working.
Right.
And none of these fucking people are.
Speaking of Kane, I had to, as we've said, I had to go to work early this morning. And so last night I was calling it early day, but I had like a half hour. And so my son and I were just hanging out, and I said, hey, let's watch Swerved. And he's like, what's that? And I said, well, it's 20 minutes, that's why. And so we watched Swerve, and for the most part, it's really dumb humor. It's got Kofi playing tricks on Seth and Barrett, you know, not letting them into the building and this and that. Well, what I didn't expect was there's an older woman there. She's probably in her early 60s. She holds up a sign, and it just says, dirty old woman. And imagine, if you will, a grandmother type, who is kind of heavy, and her wig's on way too tight, and black horn-rimmed glasses. And
like Shelton Benjamin's mama?
Yeah, but the white version. So smash cut to her at Access seeing the twins, the Samoan twins, and she's telling them, oh, twins, I've never had twins before, and it's like, okay, this is uncomfortable. And I'm, like, sending my son out of the room at this point. She's rubbing their arms, and they're giggling. And then the next scene, she's up in Kane's line getting an autograph, and she leans over to Kane and says, "I'm not wearing panties." And Kane, his face was absolutely priceless. He looks at it and he goes, "That's nice."
Kane's awesome. I love Kane.
And then it was like he looked behind him and he's like, "All right, let's get this over with." And somebody comes and ushers her along. And then I think the other one, oh, it was Diego from the Matadors. She, like, pulls her top down halfway, and she's like, "I want you to sign it right here." He starts to sign, and the PA lady from the WWE is freaking out in the background, running, "No, no, 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 absolutely not."
Huh, that actually sounds kind of funny. I got way too much entertainment out of that.
That sounds way more entertaining than what I watched in the first episode with the doo-doo microphone. Where they get the microphone and see it and put it in people's faces.
I see.
They did this at the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Then they did it where they drew, like, fucking cheese sauce and something else on top of them.
Okay.
Yeah, there's like, then I could have sworn somewhere I saw a scene where, because you're talking about he's underneath the pan and you lift the pan and he screams and scares everybody.
Yeah, they're doing some kind of cooking section and he opens the pan and Hornswoggle's there and scares.
Yeah, there's one where, like, there's somebody in behind him with, like, a big thing of freaking queso or melted cheese, and then somebody else has something else, so when they lift the thing, he yells like he's supposed to, and then they just drown some with the cheese sauce and some other stuff. But we got 2 minutes left, so let me get the plugs out of the way real quick. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com, along with a lot of other shows. Check out AngryMarks.com. You can also download and stream the show at BlogTalkRadio.com/Cotrera and older shows at BlogTalkRadio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio.
And you can follow me on Twitter. It's my last name, Proper, and the word jam, so Proper Jam. And follow me on Twitter.
You can go to youtube.com/Cotrera. I think I probably have this Memphis angle up there somewhere on one of my playlists. I'm not sure. It's probably on one labeled Memphis. So check there. I also got other, like, full episodes of Memphis Wrestling. I've been going back and watching a lot of them lately, just because I haven't watched them in a while. And Cotrera35 on Twitter, and that's it. You should have just stuck with Hulk Hogan dropping wrestling for your son, because I put up a bunch of new episodes. So,
Before we go, Craig, do you know that Cotrera has a new favorite UFC fighter, and that he's really excited for his next fight?
Right.
I was not aware of that.
Yes. The great Gibbler Menendez.
Tom Lawler?
No. Gibbler Menendez.
Gibbler Melendez.
I thought you said yes. I apologize. Yes, Gilbert Melendez.
It's Gibbler.
Yeah, I know.
How do you spend all this time marketing and getting ready to have this freaking fashion show, and you can't spell the name Gilbert right on the shirt?
That is a mistake you would make. Let's be honest. That is a mistake that you would make. But yeah, there should have been somebody who signed off on that, and that person should be fired today.
Yeah, it caused Filthy Tom to go on a rampage himself, and I think they fixed it. I think they actually changed his shirt to Tom Lawler from Thomas Lawler, and
I think some of them have those, like, under those shirts with wrong names on them. Did they mass produce those shirts, like hundreds of those shirts? They've
mass produced the stars. They've got Ronda Rousey mass produced. They got the main ones. The other ones you have to specially order. They won't make them until you order it because they don't want to have a shitload of Gidler Melendez shirts sit there and not sell because they're $95, and I don't think they're going to sell a whole lot of them. I mean, $95 for a T-shirt. Okay, I've gone to Pro Wrestling Tees. Okay, and I've bought two Leva Bates shirts, I've bought an Evie shirt, and I've bought two Sue Young shirts, all for less than the price of one UFC shirt. And I guarantee you that these girls or all the wrestlers who sell their shit on Pro Wrestling Tees, they're making $10 to $11 off this shirt. They're getting at least half the money. Okay, I guarantee you the UFC guys ain't making fucking 5% or whatever. I mean, they're not making shit off of that shirt. And Filthy Tom Lawler said it best. If you buy a Filthy Tom Lawler shirt, you're a fucking idiot. And
well said.
I have to agree. But yeah, it was a total debacle. Suppose, like, if you're from a different country, you can get the shirt in the colors of the country. Like Ben Henderson, who's American, but I think his mom comes from Korea or his grandma comes from Korea or something. So you can get the Ben Henderson shirt in the Korean colors. But guess what? You can't get the Korean Zombie in Korean colors. He only comes in the standard.
Oh, good grief.
Yeah, so.
Gilbert should change his name to Gibbler now.
He should, right?
That's a much better name anyway.
He'll be the most over. Still being like him and Ronda will be the big stars. And Paige VanZant. And I'm kind of curious because, you know, they're supposed to wear this uniform. You know, like the shirt and the shoes. Okay. Well, they had them, you know, they have the shirt and the shoes, but then they showed what they're going to wear to the ring, which basically for the guys is just a short. But for the girls, they had Ronda and Joanna and Paige VanZant wearing the shorts and the sports bra. And up until this point, the girls have not had to, like Ronda does, Paige VanZant does, they fight in the sports bra. But there's a lot of girls and a lot of the bitter ones, like Sarah McMahon and a few other ones, they wrestle in shirts, you know, because they don't want to be, you know, they don't want to show off their shit or whatever. I'm wondering, are they going to get to fight in that Reebok T-shirt, which is not, like, because the shirts they wear are kind of loose. This is not a loose shirt. Or are they going to be now forced to wear the sports bra? That's what I'm wondering. And
That's a weird question, but it's, I would imagine they'll make one of each, but I don't know for sure. Hard to say.
And then someone had reported that supposedly when all this was coming out that there were supposed to be sections on the shorts and shirts, little sections that were supposed to be for the fighters, and they could have gone and got their sponsor's name or whatever on that little section, but somehow that disappeared, and now everyone's getting screwed, basically. The only ones I think that are actually going to make real money are the ones that signed their individual deals, like Ronda, like Paige VanZant, like John Jones, until they took his away for being an idiot, basically. And, so a lot of, I don't know, I think it's stupid. To me, you know, I watched Ballot Tour a couple weeks ago with Kim Rock and Kimbo, and while the fighting from all the fights were nowhere near as good as UFC, it was so much more of a fun show to watch than UFC because they had the big arch on the rampway. They had freaking Road Warrior Animal just popping up and saying, oh, what a rush, before Shamrock came. It was just so much fun. It's like the UFC has become the no-fun league, and it's funny because next week when I'm in Vegas for the convention, they're having the Fan Expo, which they've had for the last couple of years, and they have a shitload of fighters, and then they have a shitload of vendors.
So I mean, it's like basically it's like WrestleCon for UFC. So they have all the shirts and, you know, the stuff for your muscles, stuff like that.
Supplements.
And yeah, supplements. And as far as I know, the only Reebok is the only clothing apparel that can be there, and that they signed some deal with some supplement company. I don't even know who it is. I've never heard of them before, but they're the only ones that are going to get to sell supplements. So it's like, okay, they're going to have a bunch of fighters, but what the fuck else is there to do? You used to be able to go get free shirts and do all kinds of stuff, get free supplements, you know, and all this other stuff. And now it seems like that's kind of gone. It's like, what's the point of even having the fucking Fan Expo, in my opinion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
sure it's only beneficial to UFC, this endorsement thing, and a lot of sponsors aren't helping the fighters out. I mean, the fighters, you know, they get paid for their fights, but you know, they got to do training, and gyms ain't free. And trainers ain't free, and that sponsorship is what helps those fighters out. And I just think it's really sad that, you know, they're going to be getting a fraction of what they could be pulling in with sponsorship. And it's a bad deal for fighters. I think anybody can see that.
Yeah. Anyway, they've had a rough week with Fashion Show at the Baco, and then the main event. Thank God I didn't buy tickets for this fight, man. I'm just going to Vegas. I'd be pissed. I mean, you're still getting McGregor, you're still getting Tom,
yeah,
but it's not what it should be, and it's like, I'd be like, fuck
right.
That.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to buy the show now. I really have zero interest in it now.
Me neither. I'm very upset about it. I'm very funny.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I think I'm just going to go, I think me and Horseman are just going to go show up and knock on Rodney's door at the Venetian and watch it there.
There you go.
Make Rodney pay for it, yeah.
Well, he's a college-educated man. He can afford such things.
Craig's not going to Vegas?
No. No, that's
why.
Well,
you see, you go run into Rodney or something?
No, I love Rodney. What are you talking about?
Oh,
how dare you?
That's fascinating.
I don't know why you don't go. There's other things to do besides get drunk and party in Vegas. I mean...
Oh, I know. I know. It's just...
There's a lot of things you could do with your kids there that would be, like, super cool.
Yeah. Probably barely let them go to WrestleMania every year. So...
Yeah, if I have money to do one thing, I'm going to Mania. So, you know...
But anyway, Vegas should be fun. Hopefully, unless Brian just fucks everything up.
Well,
I wish I was going actually on the trip with Brian, because Brian has to babysit this trip because Granny is on the same flight, same hotel.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell Whitney just to record everything. All the guilt trips, all, you know, making Brian push her in a wheelchair and everything, and you know, Brian being upset because he's got to carry his heavy-ass bag of radio equipment while he's pushing Granny, because you know he doesn't check his bag because he's too cheap.
No.
So that's actually going to be very entertaining. And I want to talk about...
Are we not
doing
it this weekend?
What?
He's going to be gone. I said, when is this Vegas thing? Is this next weekend?
Yeah, it's next weekend.
But no show next weekend?
Well, that's up to you two.
Correct.
But I want to talk real quick about one subject before we go. Get your opinions on it. I'm sure Couture has a lot of things to say about this. You know, we've always talked about how PC everything is and it's fucking up pro wrestling and everything else. And your thoughts on basically the General Lee pretty much being retired and pulled from TV because of this whole Confederate flag thing. It's like, in my opinion, the Duke boys never hurt a goddamn person in their life. They were good guys, and it's bullshit.
and free the Duke, free the General Lee.
Horrible they did this right when Roscoe P. Coltrane dies.
Brian, no kidding, too.
I don't give a shit. To me, but for Federal Flag stuff, to me, Federal Flag means General Lee and Ole Miss. I don't know. I don't look far back with it. You know, I don't think about the history of it and stuff like that. It was always around that, you know, the rebel flag and stuff like that, you know, being from Mississippi. I mean, I don't care. If it offends somebody, I'm sorry, but I don't give three shits about it. If it stays or if it goes, it don't make any difference to me, so.
Well, the flag, I don't care if it stays or goes, but the General Lee, the General fucking Lee, the coolest car in the history of
the
TV.
Well, the show's been over for 30 years. I don't care what they do with
the
fucking General Lee.
It's still the coolest car. It blows Kit away. It blows all the other cars.
He don't even
get General Lee.
Piece of shit.
Yeah. It was awesome.
I just think it's so very, very sad that we have become so sensitive to everything. I mean, I just don't understand getting so upset about things that really don't apply to you. Like, I don't even want to bring this up, but the contest that I did on the B&B show a few weeks ago, the guy that got offended and emailed Brian was a white dude.
Well, that's because it's been exposed. The white people get offended for all the black people.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
So I'm just trying to wrap my head around the fact why we're so sensitive all of a sudden and why
we get to complain.
It's really sad. It's just really sad. And the Duke boys have now taken the punishment for not something that they did, not something that I did, not something that, you know what I mean? It's
they're being punished as some psycho sick kid who was on hardcore medication who was out of his mind when he killed somebody.
Yeah.
Basically, that's it. And the Duke boys have become the scapegoats because we don't want to talk about the white kid killing everybody. Let's talk about the Duke boys and Manning General Lee, and let's talk more about that than the guy who actually murdered somebody or actually did something really heinous and bad. And let's not work on that problem. Let's work on the problem of this nice, cool-looking car driving around on TV. You know, that's the bad thing. Not that the guy killed somebody. There's this car with a flag on it. Oh my God, we gotta focus on that. We gotta get rid of this guy. You know what I mean?
The best thing in that fucking shitty Dukes of Hazzard film with Johnny Knoxville was when they were in L.A. or something and they got called racist because they had a Confederate flag on fucking General Lee. The best thing in the fucking movie.
Yeah,
no,
I only watched part of the movie and that was the one scene with Jessica Simpson. But I've seen pretty much every... Well, I never really cared for it. You remember when Bo and Duke went on hiatus and they brought in the cousins?
Oh,
yeah. I don't remember what their names were.
Boy and
Vance.
Boy and Vance.
That was like, it's perfect that they named them Lance, like Lance Von Erich, you know what I mean? Too bad there wasn't a Coy Von Erich, you know what I mean? at least they still had Daisy and her Daisy Dukes and Roscoe Pico Trotane and Flash. Can't forget Flash. He was awesome. But, oh, man, it's just, I don't know.
No, you go back today and watch that show. This show is fucking stupid as hell.
Yeah. But I mainly watched it because I was waiting for Daisy Duke to come out in her little Daisy Dukes.
Yep,
there you
go. Fired a mini rap song.
Yeah.
But unless you guys have anything else you want to talk about, we can go and get an early head start on our 4th of July festivities, even though we don't have any.
Right.
I'm good.
I'll just say this. If you live in the Seattle-Tacoma area, it's very dry out, and I know the Native Americans have been selling fireworks since late May. Just please be careful. and don't try to burn the joint down because, yeah, it's warm out here. So be careful with your fireworks.
And they've been drinking since late May, too.
And I think I'll say this. I think I heard it on The Simpsons, and I think they said it the best. When it comes to fireworks, let's celebrate this land by blowing a large chunk of it up.
True.
Yeah.
I'll throw a bunch of it at your friends this time, too. We used to do that bottle rocket wars all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Do you get hit? It's a fun time. And
you ain't living until you've had a Roman candle war.
Yeah. I tell you that time I was younger when I stood in my front door to shoot a Roman candle out and I had aimed the wrong way. I'm not kidding either.
I know you're not. That's why it's funny.
The worst fire accident I ever had is, you remember those little satellites? They were little silver circles, and they just spun, shooting the sparks, and they went straight up in the air.
Yes.
The worst that ever happened to me is I got fucking hit right in my forehead with one of those fuckers. And, of course, it doesn't happen, but, of course, like, my mom and everyone else freaks out and acts like I was almost killed and stuff, and wouldn't let me park nowhere fireworks the rest of that night. And I was like, come on. I can handle it.
The funniest thing I've ever seen is my mother. This was years and years and years ago. I remember it specifically because we were out on, you know, my cul-de-sac when I was a little boy. My mom or my dad had given my little brother, who's 4 years younger than me, a little box of Pop-Its. You know, you take the little white thing and you throw it on the ground and it pops.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So my mom is attempting to light this whatever. So she's kneeled down and bent down, and she's trying to get the lighter to light, but she's skittish about it as well. So she's like, it would spark up, the lighter that is, would spark up, and she would hold it to the, you know, try to hold it to the wick, but it wouldn't take. But she would, you know, she was very, very timid. And after about 4 or 5 tries, she was so nervous about lighting this thing, because apparently it was going to take out, you know, half the neighborhood. But as she was going to light it, my brother threw down 3 of those Pop-Its right next to her. And so when she flipped the lighter, he threw the Pop-Its and went pop, pop. And he's like 3. So he has no idea what he's doing. So he throws them down, pop, pop. My mom freaks out, and she threw the lighter up into the air, and she ended up on her butt in the middle of the cul-de-sac because she was certain that she got it to light, and it blew up on her. So,
you didn't bother to tell her, like, Mom, you don't have to light those. You just drop them on the ground.
Well, my mother. What can I say?
Okay, with that, we're going to end the show. Craig being a bad cunt.
To be the man, you got to beat the man. You want to find out how good you are? You're looking at the matrix shit. Let's go hook him up.
My wife tonight.